إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد my dear brothers and sisters, we continue with our series inshallah on the issue of the evils of marriage. And as I said before, there's no evil in marriage. There is evil in what we are doing with marriage, in the name of marriage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends information when He wants something to be emphasized. And last night I got some information which I sent out to the groups also. I don't know if you had a chance to see it. But absolutely shocking. Deccan Herald, which is a newspaper in Bangalore, they did a survey on the success of marriages community-wise in this country. And the shocking data is that among all the communities, Muslim community has the least success of marriages, the highest rate of divorce. And not only that, the rate of divorce among Muslims is 3 times, not 30% more, 300% more. 3 times the rate of divorce of any other community. And as I mentioned before, we are the community, in one city alone, we are spending 4,000 crores per year on marriage. So what is the ROI on this? Return on investment. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Now what more proof do you want? What more proof do you want that this nahusat of ours, where we refuse to do marriages in accordance with the kitab and sunnah, see what it's landing us with. Now, I'm not saying that the divorces are only because of ostentatious spending, but they are also the result of absolutely no upbringing of children, no focus on akhlaq and so on and so forth. But definitely, this kind of ostentatious spending is one of the reasons why our marriages are such an absolutely pathetic failure. So seriously, we have to do something. Now, 2 things I want to say. One is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, as far as ostentatious spending is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very specifically used a very hard and harsh term to describe those who spend ostentatiously. Now, this is not restricted only to marriages, but definitely it's one of the areas which also is involved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Innal mubadhirina kanu ikhwana shayateen. Allah said, verily, the people who are ostentatious spenders, the spendthrifts, are the brothers of the shayateen. Now see how harsh that is, because who is the brother of shaitan? Where is the brother of shaitan going to go? Into where shaitan goes? Jahannam. Now, you might say, well, you know, this is very hard, but if you think about it, this is the spirit of Islamic Sharia. Sins which are collective and sins which have the potential of corrupting society, the hukum in the Sharia is much harder on them than on anything else. For example, there is actually no punishment for zina which is done in private. Now, I'm not promoting that, but I'm saying that there is no, if nobody knows, you make tawbah, the matter is over. But if that zina is done where 4 people are independent witnesses to that, then the punishment for that is execution. Take the issue of interest. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declare war on the people who are dealing with interest, borrowing or lending? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war on his behalf and on behalf of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on these people. Allah did not declare war on the fornicators, He didn't declare war on the gamblers, He didn't declare war on people eating pork, He didn't declare war on people drinking alcohol, all of which are haram. But He declared war on the people dealing with interest, because interest corrupts society. It's not an individual sin. I mean, it is an individual sin also, but it's a sin which results in corruption of society. So also with this kind of ostentatious spending, because this is spreading corruption in society. other people are doing this, it is creating all kinds of social evils, it is creating indebtedness in people, people are getting into debt because they are stupidly trying to follow all kinds of, like I said yesterday, I mean, people, you know, you will see the photographs today in today's further reminder of the kind of nonsense we do in this city. So the point is that's the reason why Allah said, Mubazirin, Innal Mubazirina Kanu Ikhwana Shayateen. Second point is, as I mentioned yesterday, therefore, what must we do? We should not participate. This is an absolutely critical thing. We must boycott, and especially those of us who are opinion leaders, which includes the wealthy people, which includes leaders of any kind, which includes the definitely includes the ulama, it includes the Danishwarane Millat. We have these beautiful terms, so-called. Danishwarane Millat, the people, the wise people of this community. Where is this wisdom? You are a wise person and you take part in this nonsense. So it is very important for them especially to boycott. Now, sometimes you get this argument to say, some people say that, you know, no, I went, first of all, before that, why am I insisting on this? Because the general population takes your participation as dalil that what they were doing is correct. Because they will say, and this actually happened with me, one of my, I loaned my car and driver to somebody who went to a wedding, and my driver at that time is not the same one who is now, but at that time was a guy who was, you know, sort of very chirpy. So he came to me and he said, you are the only one who doesn't go to these weddings. And he named for me people, including ulama, including people who are, who have philanthropic organizations and so on. He named them and he said, I saw so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. Sherwani penke unu jo hai, woh shining dikh rahe the bara mere ko. Then he tells me, galat raha toh jaate the, kya unu? Mere ko bol raha. He's telling me, if that was wrong, this person, would he have gone? So he's telling me, you are a fool. We didn't say that in so many words, but that's what he meant. He said, you are a fool, you don't go. So and so is go. I mean, after all, they are also people of knowledge. How come they have gone there? If it was wrong, then they why are they? Now, the point here is that we are becoming the dalail. And we, I don't include myself because I don't go there. But I'm saying those who are going, you become the dalil for others to participate in something which is completely and clearly haram and wrong. Now, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us to do with regard to this? And what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us to do with regard to this? Because many times, sometimes you hear this argument. You say, no, you see, because we are going, things are under control. Otherwise, they would have danced naked in the streets. You know, we hear these kind of ridiculous statements. The point is that is a completely wrong argument. It is that kind of a statement is against the Quran and Sunnah. I'll give you dalil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with respect to participating in things which are haram and things which are prohibited, Allah specifically mentioned this, and Allah said, "Ta'awanu alal birri wa taqwa, wa la ta'awanu alal ithmi wal udwan." The part of the second ayat of Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, help each other in things, in birr and taqwa, in piety, in consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in all good stuff. Wa la ta'awanu, Allah is specifically prohibited, do not help. وَلَا تَعَوَنُ تَعَوَنْ مَتْ كَرُوْ Do not do ta'awun, do not do help, do not help. لَا تَعَوَنُ عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ Do not help one another in sin and in disobedience. Now, where is the dalil to say, well, you see, I went there for this or that? There is no dalil. Allah specifically told you not to go and you went. So you are going directly against the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the kalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the famous hadith narrated by Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you see anything wrong, if you see evil, stop it with your hand. If you are unable to do that, speak out against it. Stop it with your tongue. If you are still unable to do that, hold it as hateful in your heart, and that is a sign of the weakness of your faith. Now tell me, on what basis then do you go to a place like that? And not only are you going, I can find one justification. I can still say, yes, as an alim, you should go. For what? You should go to stop what is happening there. So you go there and you make an elan and say, this is haram, stop it right now. If you do that, you will be beaten black and blue and you will be thrown out of the gate. You know this and I know this. So the fitna that you will create by doing that is far worse than not going. That is the only justification. If you are going there and you are socializing with people and you are eating the biryani and so on and so forth, then one can only say that your love of biryani exceeds the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no other reason for going, because Allah specifically prohibited you from participating. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically told you that if you see it, stop it with your hand or speak out against it. You are doing neither. You are participating, you are benefiting, you are laughing, you are joking, you are eating the biryani, you are eating the food and so on and so forth. What justification is there in the Quran and Sunnah for this? I don't care who said what. I am giving you dalail from the Kitab of Allah and from the Sunnah of Muhammad ﷺ, and I am giving you dalail of what is happening in society today. If you are participating, then this is on your head directly. Simple as that. This is such an evil, it is not funny. It is not funny at all whatsoever. Final point. It is true that parents and older people and so on and so forth are rooted in all kinds of nonsensical customs. But the primary responsibility for stopping this kind of stuff lies on the bride and the groom. Not on anybody else. Why? Because you are supposed to be adults. You are getting married. So decide for yourself, are you an adult or not? If you are not an adult, then marriage is not for you. So wait until you grow up. Because there is no child marriage in Islam, right? So if you are not an adult, then you are not capable of, if you are not mature, then you are not supposed to get married. So wait until you get matured. If you are mature, then take a decision in your own life. Don't tell me mom said this, dad said this. There is no mom, no dad, no nothing. If they are saying something which is against the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah told you specifically to disobey them. Wala tuti' huma, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huma, Allah said both of them. Do not obey either of them, both of them. Right? So therefore, the point is the primary responsibility. When you die and go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be questioned how you permitted this kind of stuff to happen in your wedding. It was your wedding. It was not your parents' wedding. It was not somebody else's wedding. Your wedding. If you allowed it to happen, no matter who said what, it is your neck on the block. So very, very clearly, as far as the young people are concerned, if you are so young that you can't take these decisions, then don't get married. If you are not that young, if you are capable of getting married, capable of looking after your spouse, then please understand the responsibility is squarely on your shoulders. You can't pass it on to your parents or anybody else. Definitely, it is the job of the elders to guide the youngsters. But today, very sad to say that our elders seem to corrupt the youngsters, not guide them. There are people who, parents who teach the wrong things instead of the right things. But anyway, leave that aside. The point is, in the marriage, you are an adult, so take your own decisions. So 3 points very, very clearly. Do not participate, no matter who it is, if the wedding is not according to the Sharia. Ask what is happening. If it is not happening according to Sharia, don't participate. Second point is that as far as participating for so-called good things is concerned, I gave you the dalail. There is no justification whatsoever for participating, especially for the leaders of the community, especially for the ulama. You must boycott, otherwise the sin and the azab and the nahusat of this is on your head directly, and you are responsible for what is happening, and Allah will hold you responsible. And the third thing is that the primary responsibility to ensure that the wedding is according to the Quran and Sunnah is with the groom and the bride. It is their responsibility to make sure. At the end of the day, unless you say, I accept, the wedding will not go through. So tell your parents whoever very clearly, I am prepared on the day of the nikah to sit before the qazi and say, I do not accept. You want that to happen? Tell me. If you don't let this wedding happen according to the Sharia, then on that day, I am going to embarrass all of you by saying, I do not accept. Then where will you be? Because they can't do anything. If you say, I don't accept, khalas, that's the end of the story. So tell them very clearly that this is your supreme threat. So tell them, if you don't listen to me, this is what I will do. Finished. No wedding. Because otherwise, your neck is on the block before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika arhamar rahim.